right, good singing all the way around. I'm asked, it didn't work. Let's try it again. How about that? That'll work there. All right. All right, good job. I've got the okay to go ahead on, so take your Bible if you will. We'll be looking in the book of Ephesians tonight, in the book of Ephesians. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. We want to bless the Lord for how good He's been, where He brought us from, where we could have been had it not been for the marvelous grace of God. Bless the word to every heart here as we look in the book of Ephesians. And in chapter number 4, if you're able to stand, and we'll be looking at about verse number 12, we'll begin reading there. All right? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, that's the reason why He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers in verse 11 to perfect the saints in maturity. Till we all come together, verse 13, in the unity of the knowledge of the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, by the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, that they may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even to Christ, in whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, Father, we ask Your blessings upon the reading of the Word. We ask You to bind the devil, if a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. We ask You, Lord, that You'd strengthen us in the inner man. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. Now, I want to preach a little while tonight. I told you that I was going to be preaching here very soon on why that I'm not a charismatic. That involves Pentecostals, that involves any of that holiness move and all that business there. It's not that I'm wanting to be mean whatsoever. And I've already confessed to everybody that I know that peanut patties that them United Pentecostals make, that's the best thing you ever hung a lip on. But let me tell you, after we get through chuckling, that's not the way God ordained the church to take care of itself. God ordained tithes and offerings, not bake sales, not rummage sales, not candy sales. God ordained tithes and offerings and so forth and on. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at here tonight, let me say to you, is that the Bible said over in the book of Revelation, do not turn there, but in chapter number 3, in about verse number 9, He said, I know them that are of the synagogue of Satan, and they say they're Jews, but they're not, and you found them to be liars. You know, I found them to be a liar. They said one thing, the Bible said another. Then over there in the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verse 20, don't turn there either. But according to the law of the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, here it is, it's because there is no light in them. Now, you can go any direction you want to go, and you can do anything you want to do. And some people said, I don't like Baptists. It's a worldly, wicked bunch, aren't we? Let me tell you right now, the way Baptists are living is not the way God gave it in the doctrine. See, what we're talking about other people, what they practice in their doctrine is just contrary to the word of the Lord. You and I have got a good doctrine, but Baptists have shook it off somehow or another. I want to say to you, make no mistake about it, we're not Baptists because we decided that'd be a good name. We were first identified with what's called pedo-Baptist or against infant baptism. That's in history. Over there in your Bible, the Bible said we were turned Christians first at Antioch. We didn't call ourselves Christians or Christ followers. That's what the people round about called us, see? In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, make no mistake about it, that we're going to be on our guard, and you're going to have to be careful that you want to be nice about it and this and that, but being factual is not going to make everybody happy, I can tell you. You better beware of anybody and everybody that's always using the phrase, God told me. Oh, really? It better be according to that book or you're lying. I've been to a lot of meetings and a lot of people, you know, God told me this and God told me that. You could tell they didn't know what they were even talking about. When God tells you something, it'll be from the word of the Lord. God may make some kind of realness and put something in your heart and on your heart, but he'll confirm it if he does. You know, there's been some times that I thought God was trying to deal with me and little antacid got rid of it. We live in a world somehow or another just wants to have that authority and that corner of truth by themselves without the word of the Lord. That's a foolish saying to be able to go that far. You better beware of those if there's no Bible to be able to back up what they're trying to say, so forth and on. I told you the other day that we're in the day of the motivational speaker. They like to be able to giggle and laugh and have a good time, and they like to be able to speak to themselves and build themselves up. But let me tell you something right now is that you're going to find out that whenever God moves upon you, it'll be the preaching of the word of the Lord that'll, by the grace of God, cause you to be changed forever and forever until the day the Lord Jesus Christ shall come again. Now, I got to say to you that, if you will, I thank God for every God-called preacher up and down the road of life. I can't tell you how many meetings that I've been in, and nearly every independent Baptist, they want somehow or another to fill up their church with a bunch of young preacher boys. And I've seen sometime they had 15 or so. And out of the 15 or so, not one of them could preach a lick. Oh, they get up and spit and sputter around, but you could tell they just did not have that holy unction and the touch from God. But I've seen one or two up and down the road of life that did. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into it, you'll find is that the Lord said that if you and I would seek the Lord while he may be found, that's a personal thing. I got to tell you, it may be a pointed thing. Because God singles you out, it certainly is a powerful thing. And let me tell you, not every time is God going to be found. But the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And knock, he said, and it shall be opened unto you. And let me tell you something, when you bow your head and your heart and confess the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it'll do something for everlasting in your heart and your life. The Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they were told whenever they asked, what must I do in order to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved in thine house. Now, I want you to see that, if you will, please, is that God has given everybody here in this building or any building you go to, if you're saved by the grace of God, God's given a gift. That's what charisma is a gift. But when a person boasts of a false gift, they'll be found a liar. And let me tell you right now that when you begin to look into this lesson here, you'll find out is that that's the reason why charismatics, they claim to be gifted. I begin to think about when you begin to look into this lesson, we're not talking about motivational speaking that makes you glad and giggly. We're talking about preaching that lays a demand at the heart's door. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, we've had some folks in days gone by. I just believe in preaching at every service. I mean, it doesn't make any difference to me, whatever it is. I don't care about how long or short or any of that. I just believe that when you get to the house of God, nothing magnifies God better than the word of the Lord. You know, we've literally had people, they're not here anymore, as you say, I don't know why we got to have preaching every time we show up. Well, go somewhere that ain't going to be. And now most of them, some of them are dead and facing God with it. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that you'd better not just be motivated by the flesh. You'd better, by the Spirit of God, the preaching of the Word of the Lord, be powerful unto you and change your heart and your life and set your feet on the solid rock and establish your going. There's a passage that I want you to look at before you're going to be turning in a minute to 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, so forth, but you can wait there. There's a passage over in the book of Psalm, chapter number 33, and I want you to find that and just mark it for a minute. In Psalm chapter 33, now I pointed out all these boys and girls that are in here tonight and all these young men and young ladies and all of that, you'll find out that God's given every one of you a gift. Some of you are going to need to discover what that gift is. Some of you are going to need to be able to perfect that, prepare for it, work on it. I've had people that are not here anymore. I've had people that could not carry a tune in a bucket, but they wanted to be the Sunday morning special singer. And let me tell you right now is that, of course, they're not here anymore, so we're not having to deal with that. Do not be disappointed if you do not have a gift that's notable from God. You've got one, you just hadn't discovered it yet. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at over there in the book of Psalm, chapter number 33, I'll tell you how you can tell it. It's in Psalm chapter number 33, and it's in about verse number 3. The Bible said there in the passage, verse 1, let's back up there. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with the harp. Sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play, look at it, skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and his works are done in truth. I got to tell you right now, not everybody's going to be able to play an instrument. Not everybody's going to be able to carry a tune. Not everybody's going to be able to have the same talent. But let me tell you, whatever gift that God gives you, you ought to discover that, thank God for it, and develop it to its utmost being. Now, I got to tell you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you'll find is that we live in a world that when it comes down to dealing with people and doctrines, do you know there's only two kinds of doctrine in the world? False doctrine and the doctrine of God. That's the way that it is. There's only two. Just like there's not more than two Bibles. God's Bible, the old King James version for the English speaking, and all other versions that are contrary to it. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at in the book of 1 Corinthians, turn over there in chapter number 12, and there's a passage that we ought to look at. Now, among the charismatic, tongue-talking, holiness movement crowd, is that what they end up doing is that they try to make things mandatory that God does not make mandatory. In other words, they think that if a person is not talking in tongues, that tongue talking is a sign you got saved. Now pay close attention, because let me tell you, even when tongues were in existence, I'll show you a passage, show you they're not. Even when tongues were in existence, not everybody had it. I'll give it to you in the Bible here in a moment. In this Bible lesson in 1 Corinthians in chapter number 12, the Bible said, now there are diversities of gifts, verse number 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. You ever notice there's some people just seem like, but they know what God's talking about more than others? That's a gift, friend. Now, you may have to develop that. You may have to work on it, and certainly you need to study on it. But let me say to you, for one is given the Spirit of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith. And the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing. By the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, according to another prophecy, to another discerning of gifts, or discerning of spirits, to another diversities, diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now let me tell you, you need not get down and pray, dear God, give me this Spirit, or give me that gift, or give me that. God will give you as he severally will, and he's not going to give you what he doesn't want. Now, in this lesson that you're looking at, I want you to watch this. The Bible said in verse number 12, for the body is one, hath many members. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body, whether we be Jews, Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, having been all to make drink in the one Spirit. Now, I want to say to you that when you look at him, look in verse 18. But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it pleased him. Look at it. Not as we asked, not as we desired, not as we wanted, not as we tried to promote and push somebody, but as the will of God was, God placed them in the body. Now I want you to look in verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, members in particular. Do you realize and know that? Hey, do you know what makes people go ahead and commit suicide, whether it be a young person, old person? They lose sight of the fact that they are a member in God's family in particular. You see, they lose sight of that. Don't ever lose sight of that. I got to tell you, the Bible said in the book of Psalms, you're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Don't ever forget that. I don't care how many people are chewing your behind down. And I don't care how many people are trying to dress you down. I don't care how many people come and go and rise and fall and this and that. Is that, make no mistake about it, you're a member in particular in the sight of God, and you just need to find out what it is that God's got for you in life. Notice, if you will, verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church. Here we go. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then the gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now watch, in case they're missing it, he's going to ask a question. Must have been a lot of envy going on. Must have been somebody desiring somebody else's gift they didn't have. He says, are all apostles? Well, the obvious answer to that is no. He just got through telling you that. He says, are all prophets? The obvious answer is no. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Now, if you deal with a crazy one, they're going to go ahead and say yes there because they believe it's mandatory for salvation. But the obvious answer's already been given and reiterated. And do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? Obviously not. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more and excellent way. Now, in the Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that here's some things that are very vital, that are very important. And I want you to look there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, since we're already here upon that. Even when tongues existed, not everybody in the church had it. Paul told them that. Paul just got through telling you and I that. Were there some people that didn't have it? Yes. And it's not that unknown gibberish thing that's going on now. But you'll find they had the ability to preach to where that God would let what they were preaching on the day of Pentecost. All those nations that had gathered, they were amazed that they could hear the message in their own language, knowing these men that were preaching had never learned it. Somebody asked me the question one time, said, you know, they all unspoken tongues over there the day of Pentecost. No, they didn't. There wasn't but 11. That spoke in tongues. All the rest of them were hearing it in their native tongue because of the miracle of God that God gave as they began to preach. He let every man hear it in their own language. Now I want you to notice, if you will, please, in chapter number 13 of this 1 Corinthians, he goes on and talks about, in verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, and thought as a child, but whenever I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, I want you to watch the reason why he's saying that. They no doubt was a lot of turmoil going on. They were no doubt that a lot of people were bragging on what they had against somebody else that didn't have, so forth and on. But look in verse 8. He said, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, hold that thought right there on that passage. Somebody said, well, are you saying then prophecies or preaching that that's gone? Yes, it is. Are you saying then that if tongues cease, that they're gone? Yes. Are you saying then knowledge has vanished away? Yes. These guys were preaching directly from the Lord, and they did not preach the way you and I did. They got it straight from God and delivered it to those round about them. They didn't have a Bible to study. It came direct from God. You know how you could tell that if they lied or not? After the word of the Lord, you could examine them by it. Or you could be able to know if whatever they had to say never came to pass, they're lying about it. Now, let me tell you right up front, is that tongue ceased? Prophecy or preaching direct from God, that ceased. And not only that, but you're going to find out that knowledge. Notice, if you will, that it failed and that it's gone away as well. Knowledge, it shall vanish away. Is there no knowledge? You better bet there's not. If you don't study the Bible, you're not ever going to be anything but ignorant about what God said. He has not given you a divine revelation like he gave those apostles when they were pinning it down. Now, I want you to watch this and pay close attention. is that you're going to find out that in the holiness movement, do not lose in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 14. Don't lose that. We'll be turning there. But look in the book of Matthew. Turn quickly there. I was talking to a man years ago, and it's been that way many times, and they've always got the same mental block, it seems like. And anyway, they said, well, now, when you baptize, then how do you baptize? Because over there in the book of Acts, you'll find people were doubting who the Lord Jesus Christ was. He's the Son of the living God. He's God incarnate in human flesh. He's the one that if you're going to get saved, you're going to have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they emphasize that over there in the book of Acts over and over again. And those that said, we've not heard that there be any Holy Ghost since the day we believe. And then Paul the Apostle laid hands on them and so forth, and they began to talk in tongues and so forth, and they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so they're going to be asking you this question here. How were you baptized? Were you baptized in the name of Jesus? Because that's the only thing that a oneness united Pentecostal will accept. They believe that when you go down in that water and they say the phrase in Jesus' name, they believe in Jesus only. It doesn't matter whatever else, and show them this passage here, if you will, Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18. Now Jesus came and spake unto them. Now who's doing the speaking? Jesus. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's not, it doesn't matter if they're red or yellow, black or white. All nations anywhere, here, there, yon, across the other side. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, and notice it, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now who was it said that? Jesus Christ said that. Do you mean to tell me that God incarnate human flesh didn't know down the road that there was going to be somebody that would even pervert that as simple as it is? I've told them many a one, said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to believe what Jesus said. And I'm not going to believe what anybody else has tried to shove down my throat. I had a lady one time at a cafeteria that was trying to turn around, and she was wanting to try to tell me something about, well, you know, Paul had a thing with women. I said, I see. So you don't believe the Bible is written by the Lord, by the Holy Ghost of God. You believe Paul the Apostle wrote it? Well, no, I don't want to say that. You just got through saying it. I mean, you can't have it both ways. Either Paul had a thing that he wanted to lambast women, or either the Holy Ghost of God is trying to put you in your place. And I'm guessing, lady, you probably, for your order, probably are not in your place. See, I used to not be a nice guy. I didn't have a lot of tact to attract. But the word of the Lord is still the same. Now I want you to watch this over in 1 Corinthians in chapter number 14. Over there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, there's a passage there that we ought to be looking at. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 14, in that passage that we're looking at. And let me show you that, if you will, please. Let's see here. I want you to remember, I flipped over my note because I wanted to get away from it, looking about verse number 19. Well, let's start with verse number 1. Now follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit, the Spirit, by the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Now he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Notice, if you will, he said, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you and speaking with tongues, what shall it profit you? Except I shall speak to you by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. And even things without life, even given a sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? For if the trumpet is an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak to the air. Look at that. Now that's the gift that everybody's so mad about, up in the air about, and wanting everybody else to have. And he says, if that's all you got, you're just speaking to the air. There may be so many kinds of voices in the world. None of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek ye that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Now, I want you to watch, and I want you to see this. A person that could speak in a tongue during that time, God said, and prayed that he may interpret. Now, if you're not going to have an interpreter, you're not going to have anybody speaking. They're to keep silent. Look in verse 19 now. Here's what he says. Verse 18, but I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now look at that. He said, I'd rather speak five words. Five words are more worth more than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. Now look, if you will, please, in the passage. He says there in verse number 20, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. Now notice, if you will, in the lesson, look in verse number 23. Now, if the whole church come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he's judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he'll worship God, report that God is in you of a truth. Now how is it, brethren, whenever you come together, that every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation? Let all things be done unto edifying. All right, verse 27. Now if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. You'll never hear that expounded. Verse 28, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Now, let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. And if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, then let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now verse 34. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as thus said the law. Some of them old men, back like old W.A. Criswell before he died, he said that the tongue movement is a woman's movement. Forbid the women to speak in it, it'll vanish from the earth. And notice, if you will, he said in verse 35, talking about women, they're not to speak, they're not to be an authority. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, there's no doubt that some of them are thinking, what? Came out the word of God from you, or came it unto you only? If a man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, then let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you, they're commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. If you don't go against what the Lord said, then just be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongue. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, those are it in a nutshell. And let me tell you, in the day and hour that we're living in, it's sweeping the country. It has swept the country. Here's where it began. Here's how it started. There was a woman by the name of Agnes Osmonds up in Topeka, Kansas. Now, here's what Agnes did back in the early 1900s. She got busy, having been a Methodist. She got busy and wanted to have something with a little more flavor and a little more pizzazz or a little more whatever that would give her a little bit more authority. And so as a result of that, she spoke in tongues. But long, she had some other people wanting to be able to speak in tongues. And it wasn't long she got into faith healing. And it wasn't long that where that other people, and buddy, she's where the really the revival and the commending again of the Pentecostal holiness movement began to get on the rise. And now you know something. She got into faith healing. Her and Oral Roberts, and I told you about some men the other day and all of that, a fellow by the name of Osborne and another one and this and that, and there's a bunch of them. I can't remember all of them. Catherine Kuhlman. Now here we got Agnes Osmond. She's into faith healing too. It's a funny thing that she died from heart failure when she was 6 to 7 years old. It's a funny thing that some of these other big faith healers, you know, and whenever they collapsed because of something was wrong, and I'm sorry they had a heart attack and this and that. I'm sorry that they had some other problems and all this and that, but they shouldn't have been lying about what they could and couldn't do. And about an old Oral Roberts that was up there in Oklahoma, where was it, Tulsa? And boy, I'm telling you, he was big in that, big on the radio, so forth and so on. They were telling stories about him all the time. That's where Frank and Bill came from, you know, as they went up there on that. That one guy said, he said, I ordered that record from Oral Roberts, and I got it home, was going to play it, and the hole had done healed up in it, and it wouldn't fit around on it. You see what foolishness. And yet I'll guarantee you there's people that would fight you tooth and toenail over him. I want to say to you that if you will, that whenever you begin to look into this Bible, you begin to recognize and know is that God, let God be true and every man a liar. You know, whenever I look around, and I say this every now and again, and I'm going to say it again as long as the Lord will let me remember it, is that you can find a lot wrong with Baptists, but you're not finding anything wrong with Baptist doctrine. But somebody said, well, I know some people doing this and this and this and that. All right, give me a chapter, book, and verse. And let me tell you, honey, if the chapter, book, and verse there, the word is right, and that person's just wrong. But see, we're not talking about that kind of if and but, might be, maybe so. We're talking about somebody that'll come after you. I was sitting in a home one time, and I've told you about it, no doubt, in days gone by. And there was a couple of United Pentecostal there in Simport, Louisiana. And so I thought to myself, you know, they just never have had anybody to sit down with them, be understanding with them, show them the word of the Lord. And to go through it, it's plain enough for anybody to see. And so as I got down through that first little segment there, are all apostles? They didn't even shake their head, no. Are all of them have the gift of prophecy? No, they believed in that. I went down through that whole list. I thought, we're fixing to get it. This is a third grade English lesson, and they're fixing to grab it. And when I got, do all speak in tongues? Yes, they do. Let me just tell you what you can do. You can go ahead and, in that marble game, pick up your championship marble and go home. You can't help people like that. You see that? You know the reason I'm not a Methodist? Ain't no such thing as saved today and lost tomorrow. And plus now women preachers involved in their group. Plus, is that salvation's not in infant baptism. See? I could go on and on with you, but I'm not. Baptists are a mess. Hey, you know what's wrong with Mormons? I ain't got to go through all of that. Is that they believe we're all gods. And the Bible says very plainly there's but one God, and he's the Lord of all. So that makes them lying. We could go on and on about whatever it is you want to talk about. Make no mistake about it. Let God be true, and every man a liar. I've heard a lot of Baptist preachers that have said some stuff that they thought was really and truly real, and were they lying about it? They might have lied and been ignorant about it. That doesn't particularly make them a liar. It just simply makes them ignorant about what they were trying to speak. You know, it's very, very simple that whenever you search the scriptures and ask God to open up your heart and to show you exactly what he had to say, whom that he had to say it to, why that he had to say it, And then you can speak it on the behalf of the word of the Lord and the authority of God's word. See? God will tell you about how you ought to look, how you ought to act, how you ought to dress, how you ought to think, how you ought to talk, how you ought to marry, how you ought to, you get in the picture. There's not a thing that deals with life that this Bible will not guide you and lead you and direct you in. See? If you'll let him. All right, let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for loving us. We ask your blessings upon us. We ask you now that you'd go with us to our homes. Help us, I pray, and may you hide the word in our heart that we not sin against thee and that we could teach transgressors thy ways. Thank you for all you've done and all you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake hands.